It says in Deuteronomy 28, obedience brings blessing. So it's like a principle that if you obey what God says, he'll bless you. If you don't obey what he says, he won't. In fact, it says you'll have curses on your life. And so it's pretty important that we do what God says, right? Part of doing that is to know the scriptures. And one of the big things in the scriptures is that we need to understand is authority. We need to understand how God's authority is in order for us to obey it, to submit to it, to live under authority, to live in God's authority. And you see, God's a God of order. He likes things organized. You only have to look at the world to see that. You know, the natural world, there's order. It's very ordered. And God is a God of order. And the scriptures point that out very clearly. If we do what God says, he'll bless us. Obedience brings blessing. If we don't, he won't. So I want to look this morning at authority, understanding authority, God's authority. And it really goes throughout our life. Authority is in every part of our life, right? So if you can turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Now, this is a story that Jesus told about the centurion. And from verse 1, Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him and asked him, "Come and heal his servant." When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus goes, okay. Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. In Matthew it says he was astonished at him. In some of the other versions it says he was, you know, astonished, amazed, lots of different words. But Jesus was astounded. He was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Now, you've got to ask yourself, I look at that and I go, Jesus, what? Look at the guy's humility. Why didn't Jesus go, this guy's a humble man? Like, he's a centurion, right? So he's a Roman soldier in charge of loads of army guys. Why didn't Jesus see the guy's leadership? See the guy's humility. He had some humility to say to him, "I don't even deserve to have you come into my home." He wouldn't even go and stand in front of Jesus. Wouldn't even go and talk to Jesus. The guy was humble. No, Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Great faith. He had great faith because he understood authority. You see, if we understand God's authority, it actually shows that we trust God. It shows that we understand that God is in charge. If we don't understand this, We're actually not showing our faith. You know, when I think of people who have faith, the first thing I think of is Peter walking on water. I go, that guy had faith. Hands up those who've walked on water. Like, he had faith, right? But what happened while he was walking in water? Jesus said, and he started to sink, Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He said to Peter that he had little faith and he walked on water. And yet this guy understood authority and Jesus recognized it as great faith. You see, if we can sit under authority, it proves that we trust God. And it proves that we trust God no matter what the authority is, whether the authority is in government or in your family or in the church. If we can submit to authority, it proves that we have faith in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So just turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. You see, authority starts really right at the beginning when we're little. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now that's the fifth commandment, right? Honor your father and mother. Why? Because it will go well with you. Now I'm not just talking to kids here. We all have parents, right? It doesn't mean our parents have been good to us. It doesn't mean we honor, it doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're nice to you so that it will go well with you. Now, I've been very fortunate because I had really good parents. My mum's here. I had really good parents, so I did not have trouble honouring my mum and dad. Some of you have not been that fortunate. Some of you have had abusive parents. But understand authority. Understand under God that we need to honour our parents, even if they abused you, even if they did the wrong thing by you. It says, honor your parents, not for their benefit, for your benefit, so that it will go well with you. If you can honor your parents, your mother and father, even if they're dead, you still have to have an honor towards them, even if they're not alive anymore, right? My father is dead. He was not a believer. Now, my dad did lots of things that I didn't agree with, but he was a very good father to me, so I honour him as my father. And I won't have anyone say anything bad about him because of that, because I understand authority. I understand that it's my job to honour my father and to honour my mother. So everyone here has that responsibility, right, to honour our father and honour our mother. And it starts from the beginning. That's why it's so important to bring your children up to respect you, to honor you, to all of those things, because it works through your life, your whole life. So if we just go back up into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, I could stop there and go, wives, it says here, submit to your husbands. Therefore, that's it, God's rule, right? But the very next verse says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, if you want your wives to submit to you, yes, it says this, that they have to submit, but it also says, husbands, love your wives. And it's love your wives to submit your, to give your life for your wife. Love her. It doesn't say wives love your husbands. And you go, well, I kind of hope you do, honey. I'm commanded to love my wife, so I love my wife because it says so. It's going to be a lot easier, husbands, for your wives to submit to you if you love them according to what God wants you to do, yeah? So it's always a two-way street. However, the fact of the matter is the Bible says wives submit to your husbands. That's just God's order, right? Now, a lot of people don't agree with that. A lot of people struggle with that. But if we really want to do it God's way, remember, obedience brings blessing, yeah? If you don't do what God says, he won't bless you. So therefore, that's a simple one. Wives, if you don't want to submit to your husband, that's okay, but God's not going to bless you. You're not going to walk in God's blessing. See, Jesus said, I've come that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. If you want to have an abundant life, then do what the Word of God says. It's simple, really. That's one of them, right? It's a very important one. Okay, so if we go on to lead it, if we go on to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13, see, even the kingdom, even the spiritual world has levels of authority. The evil spirits have levels of authority. It's all authority is such an important thing. So if we go to 1 Samuel 13, we pick up the story of King Saul. Now, at the time, the prophet Samuel was running the country. He was the lead guy, right? He had the authority. He was told to appoint a king because they wanted a king. So he appoints Saul out of nowhere, appoints him. He becomes king. He has war. There's war and they're having fighting. The Philistines are gathering. There's a whole bunch of Philistines. He's gathering. His men are all together. They're waiting for the prophet Samuel to come along and offer the sacrifice and to seek God for the answer of whether they're going to be victorious, right? The Philistines are gathering. There's more and more of them. Saul's men become frightened. They start fearing. They start going, oh no, what's going to happen? They start scattering. Saul is at a critical point. He either waits and trusts God, understands the authority that Samuel has, and submits to that authority, or he takes it into his own hands, right? So that's where we're at. So if we pick it up, 1 Samuel 13, verse 7, Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited the 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. Saul offered up the burnt offering just as he finished making the offering. Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done, Samuel? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw the men were scattering, he was looking at man, and that you did not come at the set time, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down and basically slaughter us. Samuel goes in verse 13, you acted foolishly. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. Now look at that one verse. He would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. What was Jesus called? The Son of David. If Saul had done the right thing, Jesus would have been the son of Saul. You realize that? Quite possibly. Because he didn't understand authority, he was too fearful of people. He was too fearful of what people thought. He didn't understand the authority. He sacrificed his own kingdom, if you like, his own position as king, by not submitting to the authority of Samuel. So that was really a warning, right? So if we go over, already God has said to him, your kingdom will not reign, it won't be established over Israel for all time. He didn't say he would remove the kingdom from Saul. But he did say that future, his lineage would be cut, right? That's what it's from that. So if we go to 1 Samuel 15, turn over a page. Now God says to Saul, through Samuel, go and fight the Amalekites, because the Amalekites opposed us when we came in. I want you to kill everything. Man, woman, child, animals, donkeys, the lot. Wipe everything out. Everything. Not one thing is to stand, right? So if we go to verse 17, Samuel turns up and he says, although you were once small in your own eyes, you did become the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you over kings. He sent you on a mission, saying, go, completely destroy those wicked people, those Amalekites, make war. Verse 19, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Saul's response is, I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and I brought back Agag the king. He brought back the king, even though God said, wipe them all out. Then he said, he blamed the soldiers. The soldiers were the ones who kept the plunder. They kept the sheep and the cattle. And here's what Samuel says in response to that. So Saul failed as king. He didn't do what God told him to do. Remember, obedience brings blessing. This is what Samuel says. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings? This is verse 22. And sacrifices, as much as obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Look at this verse. Verse 23. For the rebellion is like the sin of divination. Some versions say witchcraft. For the rebellion is like witchcraft. My goodness. And arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So now the next step is Saul is going to be removed. That's what it says, right? So if you move in rebellion against God's authority, you're actually walking in witchcraft. Do you realize that? That is astounding that we can call ourselves Christians. If we walk against God's authority, it says here that you're walking in witchcraft. That's scary. That is scary stuff. So now David comes on the scene. David was the guy anointed. So Samuel goes and anoints David. But Saul is still king, right? So David's anointed. And it says in chapter 16, verse 21 onwards, said, David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. Whenever the Spirit of God came on Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So David's now on the scene. David's been anointed. Saul has been removed. But here's where it gets interesting. You see, most people in that situation might say, well, I've been anointed king and he has now been rejected as king, so therefore I should take over no matter what, right? But David doesn't see it this way. David sees Saul's anointing. Saul is still an anointed from God and he's not going to remove him. So if we look on to chapter 24, it gets to the point where Saul starts to realize, up till 24, Saul starts to realize that David is a rival. So he now starts to hate David, starts to try and kill him. So David flees for his life, really, essentially, because the king is after him, starts throwing spears at him, wants to kill him. He runs off into the wilderness. Saul finds out where he is and starts to chase after him with an army, 3,000 or however many people there is. Saul brings an army and chases after him. David's been anointed king and he's hiding in a cave, right? So if we go to chapter 24, verse 1 and onwards, we pick up the story. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 of his chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David. He came to the sheep pens along the way. The cave was there. Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord has spoken of when he said to you, 'I will give you the enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed, cut a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to the men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and would not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Anyways, to go on, David goes out, confronts him, says, "Look, I'm not the one, I'm not trying to kill you," right? The point is, though, David recognized that he was Lord's anointed and would not touch him. This was a test. This was a test. I'm sure this was God's test to David to see if he was going to trust him. Are you going to trust the Lord to remove him, or are you going to take matters in your own hands? Keeping in mind that the king now is an abusive king trying to kill him. But he says, no. Remember what Jesus said about authority? He has great faith. David is showing his great faith in God by not touching the Lord's anointed, even though the Lord's anointed wants to kill him, even though the Lord's anointed is clearly walking in witchcraft and clearly doing evil things. He still wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. That was a test that David had. The next test, there's another test, chapter 26, we go over. He gets away from that time. There's another time comes up. Saul's after him again, this time with a whole army. David finds out where Saul's army is. That night, goes down into the camp, and we pick up that story. 1 Samuel 26, verse 5. Then David set out and went to the place where Saul had camped. He saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander, had laid down. Saul was laying inside the camp with the army encamped around him. David then asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, those guys, "Who will go down into the camp with me?" "I'll go," said Abishai. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp and his spear stuck in the ground, and Abner, the soldiers, were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him down to the ground with one thrust. My spear won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" This is the next test. David's tested again, right? I believe this is a test from God. Okay, I'll keep my hands clean. I'll get one of the other guys to kill him. No. No one can touch the Lord's anointed, it says right here, and be guiltless. I find it amazing that after all this happened and finally Saul gets killed, right, the guy that comes to David to tell him is an Amalekite. It says in right at the beginning of 2 Samuel. The guy's an Amalekite, comes to David, lies to David about how Saul was killed. And he says to him, do you remember that story? He says to him, I saw him dying and he told me to kill him, so I killed him because he was dying anyway. But the truth was Saul killed himself. He landed on his sword, right? David said that he should die because he touched the Lord's anointed, even though it was a lie. His own words condemned him. And you know what was funny about that? He was an Amalekite. Saul, God told Saul to annihilate the Amalekites. And yet there was an Amalekite later on. So he clearly didn't do what God said. And one of those Amalekites was the ones who... That's amazing. So the Apostle Paul quoted a thing in about David in Acts chapter 13, and said, it basically says this: God was happy with David because David did everything the Lord told him to do. He obeyed him fully. He understood authority and he would not step outside that authority, even if you've got bad leadership over you. Whether that's in the church or out in the world in business or in your family, there's an issue of authority. If we understand God's authority, God will take care of it if someone's doing the wrong thing. So let's go back into the New Testament to Romans chapter 13. It's Corinthians 13, a chapter of love. Let's go back to Romans 13. The first two verses. It says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." So Jesus came to give us abundant life, but unless we can understand authority and we don't understand things like this, we won't be living in abundant life, because we need to understand that authority is God's idea. Living under authority is God's idea. And if we oppose it, we'll bring judgment on ourselves, it says in Romans chapter 13. And if you look at the whole federal politics of the last, Kevin 07, since 2007, 9 years, it's been a joke. And part of it is because of this. Because they haven't understood authority. They've been stabbing each other in the back and not understanding authority. Until we understand authority, we're not going to be walking in God's blessing. Obedience brings blessing. Remember I said that at the beginning. God wants to bless us. He wants to live an abundant life. But unless we can submit to authority, we won't be living in God's blessing. We'll actually be living in judgment. It says judgment on themselves, verse 2. I know this might sound a bit heavy, but I'm trying to put a point through here that we have to understand this. It's such an important thing to walk in God's blessing, right? It's so important that we can submit to authority. Now, if we go across to Hebrews chapter 13, where are we? Hebrews. Now, this is really speaking of the church. Speaking of the church, right? But it's really verse 17 of Hebrews 13 says this: obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Okay, now, here's where it's good for all of us, all the people who aren't in authority or aren't in leadership. They don't have to give an account for the leadership of what happens in the church, right? It says here, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Pastor Martin will have to give an account of what goes on in this church. That's the bottom line. If something is going wrong in this church, he will be answerable to God, right? That's why it's important to submit to that authority, because he has to do whatever he can to do that. Now, we have to understand that he has to fear God in order for this to work, right? Otherwise, it's not going to work, right? Anyone who has any doubts of that, I've been overseas with the man. I know he fears God. You don't go to countries like that unless you feel the Lord speaking to you. You do what he says, right? Just like when we go overseas, I'm fairly new to going into foreign countries. He's been doing it for a long time. I have to submit to that authority, right, for my own benefit, what's more, because if I do something that's wrong, like this, people have a fit over that. We put our Bibles on the ground because it's like, whatever. If he wasn't there to go, don't do that, well, I know that, right, but that little thing, if I'm overseas and he says, don't put your feet up like this, or don't just do what you're told and obey and submit, because there's obviously a reason behind that, yeah? Sometimes we don't understand some of the decisions that get made in the church because we're not in that situation to make that decision. We just have to trust sometimes that God is speaking and that we submit to authority. That's just the way it is. You want to live in God's blessing? That's why I want to speak to you about this. If we understand this, we'll live in God's blessing. See, Jesus said, someone said to me years ago, the kingdom is like, it's like an upside down kingdom. He who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. In Peter it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he will lift you up. First we have to humble ourselves. First we have to be under authority, and we have to stay under authority as long as it's God's way. It is God's way that we have to live under authority. So just to sum up, I want to say all of that to say this. Even if you're in a situation where you don't agree with in your life, you don't agree with authority over you, you still need to submit to it because that's God's way. God's way is to live under authority. Now, if the band could come up, that would be good. I think that, you know, if you need, sometimes you need to forgive those people. Sometimes you need to have forgiveness in your heart for your father or your mother or those over you in authority. Sometimes you need to forgive them. Sometimes those people aren't even alive. See, I've seen examples of this so much lately that people are not willing to submit to authority, and then their lives aren't walking in blessing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your life, your personal situation, but there might have been a time in your life where you need to forgive somebody. So I want to offer that to you, that if you need prayer for that, then come out and people will pray for you.